Is it Friday yet?
Wow. That's optimistic, but not yet.
Darn it.
We have to wait just four short more days, Wendy, and then you'll get your Friday, I promise.
I cracked Sophia up, who cleans the studio, the Allstate Showcase studio.
Yeah.
Because I come out almost every day and say, is it Friday yet? And
she laughs.
She thinks that's a hoot.
She enjoys that. I'm trying to get Sophia to be more like the Carol Burnett cleaning lady character. I'm saying, you know, be a little more dancey when you walk around and a little more color and stuff. She won't do it, but I would like that kind of a cleaning lady, the Carol Burnett version.
She seems to have a fantastic sense of humor.
She does. She does.
Because today she said something to me like, is it Friday? That's what was in my head. And I said, no, not yet, Sophia. She's thrown back my own material at me. And that's when I realized it was stupid. And I should probably stop doing it. And then she said, lovely day, isn't it? Because it's just dumped on the Cubs opener.
She was in Warsaw. She was like their Sarah Silverman before she came. Did you know that? She was the Warsaw Sarah Silverman. And then she came here. She's great. I love her. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. This is the bonus hour, but I use that term loosely. Today's show will not be an hour. It will be a slightly shortened version of the bonus hour.
I don't understand. I'm not complaining. I really am
just
not.
Just don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, there's going to be a couple of days because of the White Sox schedule that I guess there'll be... Is there some? It's some White Sox programming, I guess they'll put on
the pregame.
Yeah,
but now they're starting the game early because of the snow.
Well, they knew that it would be a rough day, so they moved the start time up a few days ago. They announced that the starting time, was it a 6 or 7 o'clock start?
It was later,
originally?
Yes.
So they moved it to a 1 o'clock game.
I thought they only moved it up 2 hours, which to me was like that's going to make a big difference.
Yeah, I don't get it either. Because the Cubs went the other way. The Cubs were, they said, originally, they said...
The Cubs are bigger babies than we Southsiders.
We're going to push it an extra hour later, but the White Sox went earlier. But the Cubs are not playing, and the White Sox... So at 12:35, Sing Along with Eric Soderholm will be heard on this on this station.
No, it's Andy Mazur, I believe.
Oh, Andy Mazur's coming in.
I think, with the pregame. That's
right.
My understanding.
That'll be fun.
Because I hear... Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson throwing it to Andy Mazur for the post game and the pregame. I don't know.
He does both pregame and postgame.
He has had been. I don't know.
Okay.
Adam Hogue doesn't do this anymore at 1 o'clock.
No, that stopped.
That was short lived.
Yeah.
What did it go, a month?
But you know what, Wendy? Like Freaks and Geeks, I think it'll live on as like one of those underappreciated classics. I think in the future, people will look back on that and go, they should have done more episodes.
So is he a freak or a geek?
Not for air.
I'm the freak, you're the geek, if we have to pick.
Thank you. Thank you.
I loved that show.
I did too.
And, if I may say, Judd Apatow was responsible for that.
Yeah.
And there was it Undeclared that kind of was sort of like that with some of the people that he also did? I'm pretty sure.
That sounds right.
And he also did The Zen of Gary Shandling, which...
Did you finally see it?
I started watching it. I gotta be honest with you, this puppy has been keeping me up late and I haven't been getting a lot of sleep. So I fell asleep about a half an hour into it, but I loved
puppies
what
can
I
watch
saw.
It. There's a lot of stuff in there that I went, I bet a puppy would love knowing this.
Well, here's the thing that I want to throw out there that you and Kevin Nealon were discussing.
Yeah.
And you and someone else were discussing it. Bobby Slayton, I believe.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I hadn't seen it yet, so I was like, I want to be in on the conversation, so I'm going to watch it this weekend. So Jimmy Mack and I started watching, and I was curious as to why Judd Apatow was involved in this project with Gary Shandling, and I found out.
Yeah. He worked very, very hard on Gary's TV show.
Which I didn't know. And
on the Larry Sanders show.
But didn't they know each other before where he was his mentor?
He wrote jokes for him. I think it was his first professional job, Judd Apatow, is he wrote jokes for Gary Shandling. And Gary said it was for an award show. And he gave him like 100 jokes or 100 pages of jokes. That's a lot of jokes.
And he didn't use any of them. He changed them,
I thought. He used the setups and not the punchlines. And that's... Usually when you write a joke, it's the punchline. That's the thing that's hard to write. You can write setups all day long, but you got to make the punchline work. But, and then they had a working relationship that lasted a long, long time. I don't understand why in this documentary, Sacha Baron Cohen goes out of his way to say, I wouldn't have my career without Gary Shandling. And I don't...
They didn't explain it?
No, and I don't know... To my knowledge, unless I'm missing something major, I can't find a time where they worked together, unless he was just a huge fan of his, but I don't understand.
Did you watch the whole 4 hours?
Yeah.
And it wasn't explained?
No.
Are you missing a portion of it?
No, saw it all.
Because I'll tell you, darn it, I forgot to watch the Easy Money, the Eddie Money thing. Mm. But this is what bothers me. When I went to, this is kind of a convoluted way around this, and I'm sorry. As I was watching the first half hour of the Gary Shandling, the Zen of Gary Shandling, mm-hmm. is that
the
what
Zen
it's called?
Diaries right. of Gary Shandling.
They were putting, little graphics as to who was talking, except yeah. they didn't with Judd Apatow at the beginning. I was like, who is that?
Yeah.
And I figured it out.
Yeah.
When I went to see the concert for George Harrison,
yeah.
there would be people talking, and the very first time the people were on the screen, they would put a graphic. But then when those people came back, and I don't think that's right, because sometimes you forget. If it's not a major name, sometimes you forget who these people are.
I always used to watch, VH1's Behind the Music. And on some of those, they were really good about putting, like, by the third or fourth time, you go, okay, I get it. That's Chrissy Hynde. I understand that. So sometimes you go, okay, she was just on.
If it's a big name, you know.
But there were other ones where there'd be a guy at the beginning of it and at the end, and they would show it at the beginning. But at the end, I'm like, I don't remember who that guy is. You got to help me out with that.
Because I was flipping around on Access TV because I thought, you know what? I really do like Eddie Money. We had him on.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and watch that show. I set it to record.
Yeah.
But I found some fascinating interviews that I am embarrassed to say I didn't know existed. Dan Rather does the Big Interview Show. Do you know about this?
Mm-hmm.
Like with Robert Plant mm-hmm. and with Billy Ray Cyrus? We need to try and get Dan Rather on to talk about this.
He'd be great.
Oh my God, to listen. First of all, I love Dan Rather, and he's just been such a journalistic magnifico. To hear him with these rock and rollers is really cool.
Yeah.
He does a great job talking about, like, Robert Plant, who lost a son when he was very young.
Oh.
And he wrote All of My Love for that. And Dan Rather asking him these questions, and you see Planty getting all, like,
yeah.
He's tearing up.
Yeah.
It was just really great.
I don't know the backstory on that show. If Dan Rather came to them and said, I should be interviewing these rock icons, or if they said, who'd be an interesting guy, and they just came up with Dan. I don't know how that
it's
came
great.
To be. Yeah, he's so good.
And then they were there was a Leonard Skinner thing that was on, and I realized how much I love that channel.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Bob Marley documentary that, and that's what I'm getting to, is, you know, Bunny Wailer was there, and I recognized him, and Peter Tosh, but then there were some other Wailers that they weren't putting captions, and I didn't know who they were, and that bothered me.
Yeah. By the way, Peter Tosh and Daniel Tosh, no relation.
Right.
Just a helpful hint. You know what I wanted to talk about? The Saturday morning world lost an icon over the weekend, and it's a guy who is so important to the world of Saturday mornings and cartoons, but I don't know that a lot of people know who he is. Do you know who Chuck McCann is, or was? He just died over the weekend. Is that a name that rings familiar to you at all?
No.
I'll tell you the thing most people would know him for, and this, it shouldn't be that way, because he really, his body of work, if you go to IMDb and put his name in, be prepared to spend an entire afternoon reading IMDb, because you can't believe how many kids shows, adult shows, movies. He's all over the place. But here's what he's known best for his strong silence, Wendy. He was a guy that you could say something to, and he would just blatantly ignore you. That's what
watch
I like.
Out, because I'm...
All right, so that's not fair that's where most people will know him for, but
that's
he was
sad,
the voice
really.
Of Sonny, the bird who had a love, an almost forbidden love of the Cocoa Puffs.
I didn't know his name was Sonny, and was he a woodpecker? What kind of bird was he?
He had a disorder. Something wasn't right with Sonny.
He was cuckoo.
And that's why when I was little, I don't know if other people used to do this, but did you ever meet a guy and when the guy walked away and he was a little weird, you go, that guy's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
You?
Yeah, just me. Just me.
No, that's who I said it about.
He was on a show. This was the show that I liked the most, and I went back and I watched a little bit of an episode. Do you remember a show with Bob Denver, who was Gilligan? And this guy, Chuck McCann, called the Far Out Space Nuts.
I remember the name of it.
Here's the theme song. Listen to this. Yep, they were the Far Out Space Nuts. Of course, that song, a huge hit for Bruce Springsteen. But it was one of those shows where, as a kid, like, I never missed it. And then I went back and I watched a little bit of an episode today.
Not good.
Oh, my God. It's so bad. Like, one of the whole scenes is they're trying to close up their spaceship because it was two guys. I think they were junk dealers that went from planet to planet.
Now that's ringing a bell.
Right? They had a little, like, furry, like, animal guy from another planet.
Yeah.
So the long, long, long segment that I watched was them trying to close the spaceship. And whenever the bottom door would close, the other one would fly, the top would fly open. Then they'd close that one, and then the side wings would fall up.
That's funny four times, but 400 times?
Oh, my God. I remember as a kid watching it going, these Far Out Space Nuts, they can't go anywhere without some sort of hijinks, you know? I was like, so I wanted to help them, but what could you do? They were space explorers.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that your friend
Chuck McCann, he was on every TV show ever. There was no show that he didn't make a guest appearance on, and he did a lot of movies, even the Mel Brooks movies and stuff.
I'll look up his IMDb.
So when you see him, you'll know who he is. All right, we have to take a break. Judy Pilak will be in just a little bit. It's a shortened version of the bonus hour. We're still calling it the bonus hour. It's legal. You don't need to know any more than that. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, this is news to me. Judy Pilak just did our news, and this is news to me.
She left in record time, didn't she?
It's
like the Flash.
The little tiny cubbies are not going to play because it's snowing.
Wendy, you don't want anybody to hurt themselves in inclement weather.
Then why are the White Sox playing?
They're doing the right thing. They're a little gutsier. Just a little gutsier.
Southside. I hate when people
insurance.
Say that.
I do too.
And I just.
I do too.
Southside, Chi-Town. I'm going to say all these things that people hate.
It's.
Wendy.
It's so unprompted. People just say it out of nowhere.
I know.
It's just a region.
And I'm not Southside.
Will County.
I grew up in Brookfield, so I should say Brookfield.
Right. I never heckle people with names of places. I never just go up to a guy and go, Elk Grove Village!
You should start. That's scary.
I'm going to be the guy who does that from now on. I'll just say places. Madison, Wisconsin! What's wrong with that man? He just yells out the names of places. He must have been given an atlas for Christmas. That's all I can imagine.
You know, I was cleaning out things. We got our kitchen redone, beautiful cabinets from Builder Supply Outlet. And
Arlington Heights!
No, Broadview, actually.
I just like to say Arlington Heights.
And so I had to whittle down from five junk drawers to one.
Yeah.
So I was getting rid of a lot of crap. And
yeah.
I have this awesome Chicago and vicinity street map book. It is so
nice.
Good. And I'm holding it up and I'm like, should we keep this? And Jim looks at me and he goes, Google Maps.
Maps are kind of a thing of the past, aren't they?
I know, but it's such a good bound book of every single street.
Yeah.
You know who I'm going to give it to? Andrea Darlis. For some reason, I feel she would appreciate that.
Yeah, of all the people I know, if I had maps, I'd go, oh, these are for Andrea Darlis.
But it's in such great shape. I hate to. I mean,
right.
I can give it to Half Price Books or Goodwill, but.
Do they still have that place? You know, you used to go into like a service station or a 7-Eleven or a White Hen back when they existed, and there was that cart that would spin around and it had maps. Like sometimes there'd be local ones, or sometimes you could get one of all of North America. You're really lost if you're not sure which continent you're on. Is this Antarctica? No, you're in North America. Oh, no. Jim.
Right.
He went the wrong way. This isn't Antarctica.
I remember the maps.
Yeah, but I don't even know now if you went into one of those and asked them for a map. I don't even know if they'd sell you one. They don't have them anymore, I don't think. You'd be driving, but your whole front seat and passenger seat, you'd be, oh, where is Z3? Where is Z3?
When I went for a radio interview at 106 FM WWCT, I believe, in Peoria, they did not hire me. Look what you missed out on.
Yeah, they're lost.
I drove to Peoria by myself in a blizzard, and there was no internet or cell phone at that time. So I had a map that I had to pull over in the middle of a snowstorm and figure out how to get to the actual place.
It took forever.
It did, and I can never fold it.
When I did stand-up and I'd have to go to a city that was foreign to me, you know, I'd have to drive to Duluth, Minnesota. So there were two pages of directions. Like, the first ones were easy. You'd get on an interstate.
Right.
Okay. But then there was all these local roads. Turn left on this. Go east on that. It's a miracle we got anywhere. How did we find our way anywhere back then?
I know. And now if you do, you can do Google Maps, and then there's the
Waze.
Yeah. And then there's Siri's map
Grindr. Right.
But what I like is you can have it on the seat next to you, because one car I have navigation, one I don't, but you can just put it next to you. Yeah. And it'll say turn right.
Yeah.
Coming up ahead, and everything sounds like Elif, John Williams producer.
Yeah,
because she does sound like Siri.
Is that intentional?
Yes.
Now my wife makes fun of me for a couple reasons, Wendy, but one of them is because I have made my version of Siri on my phone. I've given her a British accent, and I pretend it's Keira Knightley. It makes for a much more pleasant journey, no matter where I'm going, if Keira Knightley is telling me that I've taken the wrong turn and I need to reroute.
I think that's very creative. I don't understand why she's making fun of you.
I don't get it either.
She has a man Siri, I think.
I don't know that I've ever heard hers.
Sounds like James Bond.
Does it? Oh, wait, is that an option? Because I would get that in a minute.
You can get a British guy.
No, I think a British woman is better for me.
Well, why would you want... I just said James Bond. Yeah, you got all excited.
If it's James Bond, I want in.
Well, it's not him.
Is it Sean Connery's James Bond?
It's not Lazenby, Roger Moore either.
I'm not doing Lazenby.
What about Pierce Brosnan?
He doesn't make good choices. Pierce Brosnan I would consider in a pinch, but...
Earlier today, we were talking to...
ourselves.
What was her name? Sarah Wayne Callies?
Yes.
That's from memory.
Yeah.
She played Lori on The Walking Dead. She's also on a USA show that I cannot remember that I'm going to watch, Colony.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned something about Nicolas Cage. You did. She was in a movie with him. And you said, oh, you want to laugh? Look at his screen test for him being Superman. Someone texted that there's a documentary about him going for the part of Superman. And I wanted to let you know before we sign off the air today, because you should look for that. Two different people said you need to see that.
I didn't know such a thing existed, but I'll find it. He's one of those guys, I put him in Al Pacino's bracket of this, that when they're on, they're so good, but a lot of times when they're in something, it's just...
Peggy Sue Got Married ruined it for me, because now every time I see him, I see him with those big teeth that. Hey, Peggy Sue.
Yeah.
The White Sox are coming up next.
Right.
And they are, and we're going to talk to you tomorrow.